Europol is a platform. We work for the 27 member states. We work for more than 40 countries with whom we have an operational agreement or a strategic agreement. And Europol is really the place where you can come together physically and virtually.
When we talk about modern policies, we cannot talk anymore about sharing information and then sitting on the information. Modern policing is about the using of new technologies, it's about teamwork, because what the criminals are doing is they are maximizing the use of these new possibilities.
As crimes against children investigators, we cannot emphasize enough that we will never stop looking for an unidentified victim. And I think that it's important for those people who listen, who maybe are a victim, that we will hunt perpetrators down for as long as it takes.
Welcome to the Europol podcast, the official podcast of the EU Agency for Law Enforcement Cooperation. In this series, we shine a light on some of the biggest cases Europol has supported and how we continue to fight crime. Today's episode, Making Europe Safer. Warning, this episode contains descriptions of crimes that some listeners may find distressing. Most episodes of this podcast talk about cases. We've spoken about taking down terrorist propaganda, thwarting cybercrime operations, intercepting ton after ton of drug shipments, and all kinds of other high-stakes global police operations. But behind all these cases is weeks and months of analysis, research, and innovation. At Europol HQ, there are entire departments dedicated solely to finding trends and innovations that will make our investigations more effective. This is one of Europol's core services to the police in EU member states, providing a platform for innovation, technological research, and the sharing of methods and data. In this episode, we will look at some of these innovations that have been happening at Europol and how they've translated into real operational results. It's a cool night in the Philippines. The country's Fugitive Search Unit, or FSU, is about to execute a warrant on a small island. The FSU are after a Polish national. Back in Poland, this person was managing a children's home. However, authorities uncovered heinous crimes at this children's home. The individual had been accused of abusing minors in their care over a period of 4 years. When the accusations came out, he fled Poland, which is what brought him to this hiding place in the Philippines. But the jig is up for this criminal. Authorities have been able to follow a tip and trace him halfway across the planet to this remote location. The FSU and Polish police have caught the fugitive completely off guard. He is gobsmacked to learn he's been found. He's asking the same question you might be asking. How on earth did Polish authorities find a wanted man who was hiding this far away? The lead came from an anonymous tip from the public. The tip was submitted via a special website that's managed by Europol, EUmostwanted.eu.
So it's very important in our modern societies where there is a huge demand also for the citizens and the public to have transparency in the way how the police work, that logically the community needs to be more involved in the work of police.
That's Julia, who is head of the Operational Analysis Center at Europol.
My name is Julia. I'm the head of the Operational Analysis Center at Europol.
The Operational Analysis Center is the part of Europol responsible for the intake of information Europol deals with. It assesses the quality of the information and ensures full legal and data protection compliance while we accept the information as well. It's a bit like the 24/7 emergency department in a big hospital. But unlike a hospital, Julia's center is not supporting radiology and cardiology, but all the crime centers in all their respective areas, from economic crime and drug trafficking to cybercrime and terrorism.
We are the guardian of the quality of the information that we receive.
The Operational Analysis Center is also responsible for coordinating NFAST, the European Network of Fugitive Active Search Teams, which is funded and hosted by Europol. NFAST's job is to trace and apprehend the special cases. That's internationally wanted criminals who've committed serious crimes, like the Polish individual at the start of the episode. And every European country has its own National Fugitive Active Search Team, or teams, who are members of the NFAS network.
The NFAS network was created in 2011, and since then, Europol is supporting them in the investigations that they are managing.
Over the next 5 years, NFAS would conduct many successful investigations and track down some of the most dangerous criminals around. However, there was an idea mooted in 2016 that would really change the work of NFAS.
This cooperation really was boosted in 2016 when both Europol and the NFAS community decide together to create what is called now the EU Most Wanted website. And this was important because in that moment there was a decision together with between NFAS and Europol that will be very important to involve the member states and the citizens of our member states in the search of these dangerous fugitives.
The EU Most Wanted website is one of the very first examples of crowdsourcing information to support global serious and organised crime investigations. If you have your smartphone or another device handy, head to eumostwanted.eu and check it out. The participating member states upload names, photos and other descriptive information to the website so that the public can help their investigations into Europe's most wanted fugitives. The National NFAS teams choose which fugitives to put on the site based on various criteria, such as how many leads they have or the danger currently posed to the public. This means that Croatia chooses Croatia's most wanted, Sweden allocates who is Sweden's most wanted, and so on. Members of the public can provide tips anonymously via the website's contact form and in their own national language. These tips have already proven invaluable and have led to the apprehension of several of the fugitives who have appeared on the website. And these fugitives are hiding all over the world. So the NFAS teams need as many people as possible to visit the website. The whole thinking is that the more visitors we have to the website, that was eumostwanted.eu, by the way, in case you didn't visit already, the greater the chance of spotting these fugitives before they can harm anyone or perpetrate further crimes. The idea is to get citizens, even outside of the EU, engaged in our police work, because it's people like you who could make the difference in the case.
Well, it's not really the first time, because previous to the website, for example, the EU Most Wanted website, they were already engaged like Crime Stoppers. Maybe you are familiar with that, that they were really engaging public to stop crime and to help the police in preventing crime. Also, for example, Interpol, they have traditionally the Red Notice website where they put already the people that they are under international arrest warrant.
So the idea of involving the public is not that new, but Europol and the NFAS network wanted to take this crowdsourcing further.
More important is that every year we have annual campaigns to stimulate really the feedback from the citizens to help the police, the law enforcement in the member states to find these serious and dangerous fugitives.
For several years, Europol has mounted the EU Most Wanted campaign. Perhaps you've seen it. We've done ads on social media, huge graffiti murals in European capitals, a comic book launch at a comic convention, and even postcards inviting our most wanted fugitives back home for the holidays. Some of these campaigns have ended up winning communications awards.
And in consequence, you have more tips coming from the public. So I think that the innovation here is mainly in this twofold. One is that the member states decide by themselves and they handle on the content. And second is that behind that, there is really the capabilities of Europol to support them.
The capabilities we have here include space, technology, and expertise. These all recently came together at a trackathon, which is a special event where investigators from around the world gather to try and crack tough cases.
More than 34 countries coming here for what we call the first NFAS trackathon, which consists in selecting cases where the investigator believes that the help of other investigators from other member states will be useful, but also we use the capabilities of our internet referral unit to scan the media and open sources, try to get the intelligence that we need to enrich the cases that they were handling already.
So the EU Most Wanted continues expanding. What began as a meeting of fugitive active search teams became a network, and that network has now led to massive global campaigns and hundreds of arrests following thousands of anonymous tips from the public. Make sure you visit the website and see if you recognize anyone. The link is in the description for this episode. This is not the only crime area where turning to the public can lead to a breakthrough. A separate initiative, started here at Europol, uses this kind of logic to support our investigations into child abuse.
I'm a police officer for almost 30 years. I worked for the Dutch Child Exploitation Investigative Team before I joined Europol.
Danny is the head of the team that handles online and offline cases concerning crimes against children, so child sexual abuse images and child sexual exploitation.
So my name is Danny. I work for Europol for 2 years.
Danny was actually a member of a fugitive active search team once, a long time before EU Most Wanted in the ETNVAST network, though. Nonetheless, that makes him a highly specialised investigator, used to generating leads from only a morsel of information.
One of the major things I think everybody knows, that also due to television programmes, is that nowadays it's so difficult to not get caught. You know, to be really unidentified, untraceable, that's almost impossible, because law enforcement has time and we just keep on hunting you down.
ENFAST investigators are relentless once they have a fugitive on their list. Danny uses that same doggedness and determination to pursue investigations in the especially heinous world of child abuse and exploitation.
Same thing that we do with crimes against children. There is no way that we will back down. So we will keep on hunting. If it's a month, if it's a year, 2 years, 8 years, we will keep on hunting. And I think that is one of the things. And it is getting more and more difficult to keep out of law enforcement if you are searched for, because everybody has social media, everybody is online, and online there are traces, and those traces will be followed.
In 2017, just after the establishment of the EU Most Wanted website and campaigns, we took that logic and applied it to this special crime area.
Trace an Object is an initiative from Europol. It dated back from June 2017.
So one of the ways we pursue child abuse cases at Europol is through the Victim Identification Task Force, or VIDTF. A network of specialised investigators frequently gathers at our HQ to examine child abuse cases and materials, trying to locate where the media was created or who is in the media. It's an extremely challenging job that few agents are capable, both technically and mentally, of carrying out. A member of this task force spoke to us in the very first episode of this podcast.
And we have been bringing regularly together victim identification specialists and experts from all around the world to focus on solved cases of child sexual abuse. And that led over all these years to at least 724 children safeguarded and almost 240 offenders arrested as a result of this international cooperation. But no matter how hard our colleagues worked, or still work, and no matter how much efforts that we put into identifying all those victims, we cannot succeed in all those cases. Some cases go cold. Some cases we ran out of any possibility to identify. So then the idea emerged at Europol to say, okay, maybe we can ask the public to help us.
This is the creation of the project known as Trace an Object.
The public has very, very interesting information to keep a investigation renewed or ongoing. And social media started to grow like 10 years or 15 years ago. So we think, well, how about asking the public and go crowdsourcing with the information? And that's how we started to work with Trace an Object. That's how we say, okay, if there's a cold case and we are really, really stuck, public, please look at this lead that we think might give you an idea where we have to proceed.
Trace an Object is led by the experts in Danny's team. When all other investigative avenues have been explored, Trace an Object is one of the ways we generate new leads. The analysts extract a small detail from child abuse imagery. It could be something on the wall, an article of clothing, something from the scenery in the background, anything that looks like a recognizable object or place that someone else might have owned or seen before. In a famous case, it was even the skyline of a Chinese city. We then upload the images in batches to a dedicated section of Europol's website, which you can find by searching Trace an Object or visiting europol.europa.eu/stop-child-abuse. We ask the public to look and see if they can recognize what's in the pictures. This could create new leads in a child abuse case.
Social media is the thing nowadays. It's very easy, it's very fast, it's very easy reshared. And we know that the tech savviness of the public is also very much increasing. It is a very difficult crime area because the adversaries are doing their utmost to remain as anonymous as possible, of course.
The lengths that child abusers go to stay anonymous is extreme. They might even be listening to this podcast, trying to get more information on how to evade Danny and the team here. So we will not reveal too much. But here is how Trace an Object is helping us catch more child abusers than before.
And why do we do it periodically? First of all, it is an investigation owned by a member state. And in most of the member states, a prosecutor is the one under which judicial possibilities, for instance, a seizure is made. And that means that there has to be a lot of things in place. And then we have to determine which are the ones that we can sanitize as good as possible without losing too much of details that could be recognizable.
Every single image or video or other media containing child abuse represents a potentially open investigation. If the victim is not identified, the case is open. No case concerning an unidentified child who is in danger will ever be closed. Every image we upload to Trace an Object represents a case where a child is in serious danger. We upload a new batch of images every month or so. So checking the website sporadically throughout the year for just 30 seconds is perhaps enough already to help Europol crack these cases.
I think the power is also doing it once every few weeks, go online, go through the whole batch, and it's really easy. It takes 1 minute. And if you recognize it, you do. And if you don't recognize it, you don't. But your minute can change a life forever. So it's worth to do it in that 1 minute.
Trace an Object was really the first time a policing body were able to involve the public in investigations into child abuse.
Our website received 350,000 visits, and we received 4,500 tips on the first day alone due to the advertisement, but that was directly a good measurement how well it was received by the public and how eager the public was to help us solve these crimes. It is really reshared in huge amounts once the new batch comes out. Social media platforms, and of course everybody has LinkedIn nowadays, or even social media like Facebook or X, you will ask everybody within your network to reshare it, but also to take this 1 minute to see if you can identify it.
At time of recording in 2024, almost 28,000 Trace an Object tips have been sent in from the general public. Investigators were able to narrow down a country in 127 instances. 26 children, victims of child sexual abuse, have been identified and removed from harm. 5 offenders have been identified and prosecuted. And this is all thanks to the information provided by people taking 2 minutes of their day to check the website and say, "Hey, I had that jumper once," or, "I know that location, I've been there." The link to the website will be in the show notes for this episode. Alternatively, just search for Trace an Object and you'll find it. However, investigations into child abuse are also becoming more complex. New technologies such as AI and anonymization tools could be abused by child abusers. Nonetheless, Trace an Object continues to provide leads and generate operational results. Trace an Object has been running for 7 years and its success hasn't gone unnoticed. The Australian Federal Police has since launched its own Trace an Object website, and the FBI has the Endangered Child Alert Program, which takes a different approach by posting photos of alleged perpetrators of child abuse who authorities are looking to identify. So, what went from an idea almost a decade ago is now shaping the way law enforcement are investigating child abuse cases all over the world.
We, as investigators, as crimes against children investigators, we cannot emphasize enough that we will never stop looking for unidentified victims. And I think that is important for those people who listen, who maybe are a victim, that we will hunt perpetrators down for as long as it takes.
If you are able to, please do take a look at Europol's trace and object images and see if you can identify anything there. Consider adding it to your bookmarks bar so you remember to check it every so often. And check the programs in Australia and the United States too. The links to all three are in the description for this episode.
Europol is there to support the member states. It's always cases that are very difficult to solve at national level, where international cooperation is really important. And then Europol is also known for innovative approaches.
Catherine de Borla is a former Director General of the Belgian Federal Police, the current Executive Director of Europol. As Executive Director, she leads our agency's growth and direction. This includes implementing new strategies for the agency, establishing new units and crime centres, and governing how we innovate.
I am Catherine de Borla. I am the Executive Director of Europol. I took up my position the 1st of May 2018, and it's still an honour on a daily basis to serve the community of the law enforcement colleagues.
The Executive Director's tenure has seen Europol greatly expand in size. In that time, we have seen the establishment of the Drug Unit, as well as the European Economic and Financial Crime Centre. You heard about FX work in our episode, Targeting Dark Finances. The Executive Director also oversaw the design and creation of Europol's Innovation Lab, a unit with the sole task of exploring new technologies and seeing how they could support law enforcement investigations. And EU Most Wanted and Trace and Object were both expanded during her leadership.
A lot of people look at the website and try to help us with tips about the whereabouts of these most wanted people. So we had already over 50 arrests directly linked to the profiles that were published on the website. And it is really helping member states in catching, in fact, their most wanted people. And it's about all kinds of crime. It's about sexual abusers. It's about people committing financial crime. It can be about high-value targets looked for in organized crime investigations.
And the executive director and her team are equally pleased with the results generated through Trace and Object.
A very important part of the work of Europol is the fight against child sexual abuse and child sexual exploitation. The aim of the law enforcement community is to identify the perpetrators, but also to identify and to safeguard the children that are at stake. And when the investigators are stuck in an investigation, they can decide to call the support of the citizens to try to identify objects or places where children are abused or exploited. And that is the aim of Trace and Object. It has been launched a few years ago. These are the kind of tips that investigators can use then in their investigation to try to find the victim, to safeguard the victim, or to identify the perpetrator. Trace and Object is a very good campaign. It is a successful story.
Trying new methods and investing in innovation has always been a priority here at Europol. And this didn't change when Executive Director de Borla joined.
So why do we invest in innovation in Europol? We have now very rapid technological developments that can be used by criminals and that can be used by law enforcement. So for the law enforcement community, it's very important to understand what is going on, what are these technological developments about, how can criminals make use of these technological developments, and how can we as law enforcement community make use of these technological developments. So that is why they asked us, Europol, to start with an innovation lab, to have a good view on the technological developments worldwide, and also to see what is in for us. What do we need? What can we use as a law enforcement community to help the investigators in being more effective and efficient in crime fighting? And how can we make sure that we continue to respect human rights and data protection?
This focus on rights matters a lot. Europol is held accountable by legislators, and we have a strong and independent data protection function who screen for all kinds of potential risks and violations. As of 2023, Europol also has an in-house fundamental rights officer who is responsible for maintaining and strengthening fundamental rights in our work.
That is a key issue for the law enforcement community. That is why we have to be very transparent about the tools we use in our investigations.
And where is Europol's eye focusing now?
The developments we see and we are investing in a lot is the metaverse, for instance, is artificial intelligence. And we reach out to private companies to have an open dialogue with them. And what we also try to do is to explain to the private sector and to political authorities what our needs are. So what we, for instance, expect from the private sector is that we can be sure that we have a good view on the sources used by artificial intelligence tools, which are the sources they use.
The Innovation Lab also publishes public reports on several of the technologies it's working with. If you visit the publications page of Europol's website, you'll see reports covering topics such as the metaverse, AI, encryption, and quantum computing. Then there's the matter of research and innovation in EU member state police forces. The innovation approach at Europol is also about bringing these agencies together so that they can learn together and police throughout the EU can benefit from one country's success.
So what is really important, for instance, is the Europol tool repository.
The Europol tool repository is one of the main projects managed by the Innovation Lab. It's a dedicated service for law enforcement to collaborate on software and tech tools, sharing their own, developing together, or finding ways to team up.
I will give you an example. We had a trafficking victim in Ireland. She managed to tell to the Irish police about a few of the shops and the bits of landscapes she saw out of a car window after she had been trafficked in Ireland. The information was general. And for an analyst, it would have taken a long time to analyze and to whittle down the long list of potential locations she had.
With a case such as this, time is of the essence. That small amount of information could quickly become useless if the victim is moved.
So it was a race against the clock to have the exact location of the victim.
The Irish police and Garda Síochána turned to the Europol tool repository in case it could help.
This repository allows police forces to share tools and softwares free of charge. And the Irish police, they saw that in France, they developed a kind of software, piece of software that was useful in this case. And the technology was able to whittle down the potential locations from 15,000 to just two. And the police of Ireland found the victim.
A seemingly simple platform was able to save a life.
And that is why we are doing this. And that is why it is so important that we continue to innovate.
It's not only operational purposes where we are innovating. There's also the matter of data protection and giving only relevant criminal information to investigators.
The use of artificial intelligence is really important because we have to filter down the data to make sure that the data that is useful to identify criminal activities and criminal networks, that we have that in our possession, but also to get rid of the data that is linked to innocent people who do not have anything to do with criminal activities. So the usage of artificial intelligence, for instance, is in the interest of law enforcement and also in the interest of a human being, of a citizen of our societies, because then we can filter much faster the data.
Europol's focus on AI is only going to tighten, as we need to stay on top of how it's working to see how it can support our investigations or be exploited by organized crime.
There is no other possibility or choice. Michael O'Flaherty, who was the former director of the FRA, recently said we should prioritize transparency when we talk about artificial intelligence. And I agree on that because we must adhere to our European values for liberty and accountability. And I think of all the cold cases Europol could support, all the victims we could look for and identify with this powerful technology, I am optimistic that a lot can be achieved with law enforcement using artificial intelligence. I am really convinced of that.
The executive director's second and final term will end in 2026. So I asked her what has changed for Europol in the 6 years since she joined and what she hopes to see Europol achieving in the future.
For me, the model of Europol is the right model. Europol is becoming a part of the solution in the member states when we talk about police work. There are a lot of challenges for the European Union at the moment. But for me, Europol is really an agency that proves that the European family is working together, that we can have common goals, that we are working on these common goals, and that we are investing in these common goals. As Europeans, we can come together, we can share information, we can tackle crime, and we can do a lot of things together.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Europol podcast. Be sure to subscribe and give us a rating on whatever platform you're using to listen. And if you enjoyed the show, maybe consider sharing it on your social media. This is the end of the current series of the Europol podcast. Please do go back and check out Series 1 and the rest of Series 2, if you haven't already. We have stories of drug traffickers, ransomware operators, hidden fugitives, people smugglers, terrorist propagandists, and more, all waiting to be discovered. If you want to hear more about our work making Europe safer, you can always check out our website. That's europol.europa.eu. And if you find cases or crime areas you want us to cover in future editions of the podcast, you can tell us using the contact section of our website. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you soon.